Sort of policing. Hey, I had the privilege of being there when Sifiso was baptized.
Yeah.
That was a good day. I remember that. That was a great day. Okay. Morning, everybody. You guys well? It's quiet. Everybody awake? I haven't really slept the last week and a half, so I have a reason to be asleep. But so if I'm not off, you just somebody just come and okay, tough crowd, eh? Tough crowd this morning. Okay. Can everybody hear me? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. Thank you that you've not only sent us a text, Lord, that you sent your Son and you gave us your Word. And we thank you that your Word is alive and it's powerful, Lord. It's at work in and through us, Lord. And this morning, Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come breathe on the Word, Lord, and make it real, make it alive in us and make it flesh. Make it real in our lives, God, in Jesus' name. We're not here to hear any opinion or any thoughts of men, Lord. We're here to want to connect with your heart, Lord, and we want to be more like Christ, Lord. So we can just consecrate this time. We open our hearts and minds and we say, Lord, let your kingdom come as we just come into the Word now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I should probably put on this timer thing. Otherwise, what's the title too, hey? Okay. Great. Amen. So the last while we've been talking about the Harvest Campaign. We've for the conference in the Himalayas, and last time I was here, I gave some feedback on that. And it is amazing what God is doing and still is doing. Yeah. And now we're praying for the church plant that's happening in Utrecht, in the Netherlands. So that's happening basically second week in July. The guys are arriving. So we're praying for them. It's just amazing how it makes such a massive difference that we have the whole of the Shofar movement mobilized to pray and put our faith into this church plant. It seems to be on a different level than any other church plant we've done in the past, and what a blessing to be a part of what God is doing in the Netherlands. And it's amazing because it's close enough to drive, eh? Yeah, so we probably pop in there from time to time. Huh? Yeah, if we finish church, we shoot through there, maybe they'll have an evening service and make it in time, eh? Just to go and support the guys. So keep your ears open, we'll let you know what's happening. And but what a blessing! And it's such a blessing because the harvest is so central to why Christ came and why we are here. You know, there's lots of things we as the church globally keep ourselves busy with, but there's only a few things that are really at the core of why Christ came to die and why He commissioned us to finish his work, and what for. And I remember, if you remember last time, we spoke about the dynamic of us being saved at the battlefront, where the kingdom of God is advancing and there's another kingdom giving way, the kingdom of darkness. But then there seems to be a dynamic where, unless we position ourselves right, we end up way behind the front where the battle is happening, if you can think of it like a battlefield. And we just end up in a blessed place, and it's peaceful and blessed and everything. But it seems that's not the cutting edge of where the kingdom is coming. Yes, there are amazing things happening, and yes, God still loves us. But it seems that unless we position ourselves, that we end up kind of existing very peacefully and with a blessing of God. But we almost as if we're missing something of who he is, because he is at the front line. That's where Jesus is. That's where Christ is. That's where His heart is. And that's who we died for. And this is, and I remember Pastor Andes at the leadership training was saying, you know, I still love you. I love you, my son, my daughter. But I want you to be a part of the family business. I want to show you. I want to bring you to a point where you are with me in what is my passion and what's on my heart and what's most dear to me. And that's why that was that invitation to join him and to be with Christ and to be with him with what's on his heart. And so we're continuing in that vein this morning. Sometimes people get offended with church, with people mostly. It's mostly with people. But I don't know, you've never experienced that. I'm just telling you stuff that you maybe haven't heard or experienced before. But yeah, it's astonishing that people get offended, even with me. That is unbelievable. Thanks for that. And so this one guy that recently I got an email from a man who he was offended with us, but he never even been in church. So that was special. So he was offended, but he actually visited church, but he was never a member. But in any case, so he had a question about some doctrine, which came out of the blue. And this doctrine, I just realized that the way he was asking the question, I just felt something in my own heart. It's just how often we get so distracted with, it seems, such deep things and such important doctrinal things. But what I want to answer him, I haven't answered him yet, it's been like 3 weeks, but I'll have to get to it. But what I want to answer him is, I'm preparing my heart for this, for the answer. Anyway, I think you're missing the heart of God. Yes, this is probably, it's good for us to know the doctrines and obviously the scripture. It's good to know the heart of God, but the key, the core, let's not miss that. Let's not lose sight of why Christ died and why we are still alive. Amen. So, I want to start with John chapter 13. So if you're going to go one back, go left. Go left, young man. One more. There we go. Brilliant. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you. Let's just pause there. So, he's talking about a new commandment. So, what's the old one? So, old one was right in the beginning of the Gospels. Somebody asked Jesus a question. He says, what is the greatest commandment? He's trying to trick him into going into the heavy doctrinal stuff, okay? And Jesus answers him, the first and the most important one is to love your God with everything you got, all right? This is Yaku's paraphrased version. The second one, which is just as important and just as long comes, you know, the same kind of importance, and he says, is love your neighbor as yourself. Right? Remember these? Praise God. Okay, yes, amen. Not new for us. But now Jesus is saying something different. He's saying, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So this is not a heavy one, but this is a challenging one. Because before, if you think loving your neighbor as yourself is difficult, it depends, I suppose. If you don't really love yourself, then it's not so difficult. But most of us are fine with that. Most of us are sort ourselves out, and we care for ourselves, and we challenge to say, okay, the way I look after myself, I have to now love my neighbor in the same way. But Jesus is now saying a completely different thing, and he's saying, I want you to love people as I have loved people. And immediately the challenge there is, how did Jesus love people? He gave his life. He laid down his life. So he's asking us to love now, not only in the same way we love ourselves, but he's asking us to love in the way that cost us, at the cost of ourselves. So now not at par with my own needs anymore, the same as I love myself, but now at the cost of myself. Okay. So this is a great scripture to start with. We're all excited about laying down our lives for each other. Praise the Lord. But what's amazing about this is Christ is giving this commandment, fully knowing that it's impossible for us to do this, but also knowing that he's about to send a helper, the Holy Spirit. Scripture says that, but the Romans 5, that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It is by the anointing of the Holy Spirit and by the power of the Spirit, and it is by the resurrection power of Christ in us that we are able to love in the same way that Christ loved, not by anything of ourselves. And so it's in this context that I want to look at today, look at how do we do that in a few practical ways, and how do we, with the harvest in mind, and then we're going to look more of this in the next couple of weeks, I trust. Okay. So if we look at the parable of the sower, right? You know the parable of the sower? If you think of yourself, have you sometimes experienced frustration that you sow seed, and some of it seems you have mixed reactions, right? Telling people about Jesus, or sharing your testimony, or just even saying to somebody you're a Christian has different responses, right? There's mixed reactions, and because there's different types of ground. If we look at that picture, people's hearts, people are different places in terms of how open they are to hear, right? You've experienced that. And I've had a range of responses, right? So many of you know the story of people that, while we were praying to go do an outreach, people came to us saying, we want to be born again. So that is like not even a response. That's just, the harvest is ready. It's coming to you. Saying, I'm ready. that doesn't happen often. And on the other extreme, I've had to learn some new words. Some words that I didn't know before. I've been spat on a couple of times. Once in Germany, my German vocabulary was growing because I didn't know all those words that the guys were using. Mostly, obviously, words that I can't repeat now. But so you get both extremes. It's funny though, in that moment, how God gives you grace not to get angry and stuff, you know, because it's for the sake of Christ. It's not something personal. It wasn't anything personal. It was just the love of Christ that they were not receiving. And but in terms of sowing, now, my sister, for instance, she, and maybe some of you can relate to this, we get frustrated when the seed goes out and it seems like everything we are doing is on the kind of tar. There's not even ground there. It's like just rock. There's maybe just like rock. There's nothing happening. It feels that way sometimes. We get frustrated. She once said to me, Yaku, you know what? I don't get this. You know, sometimes you speak to people on the bus and they get saved. But I speak to lots of people and I testify and I share. But it seems like there's no fruit. It feels like there's no response and there's no fruit. And that can be very frustrating. And I encourage her to not give up. But this morning I want us to talk a little bit about how do we prepare the ground. Now this is not necessarily relevant for people that you meet once, okay, the one-offs, but for those that we have contact with regularly or from time to time, those that we are praying for, those that we are trusting for, I'm talking about that this morning. How can we partner with God in what he's already doing in their lives? How can we trust to prepare that ground? Maybe it's a bit hard and rocky now, but how can we partner with God so that in a couple of months' time, maybe there will be better ground and better to receive the seed of the word? Are you with me? And so how does it happen? You know, how do we work with that frustration that we sometimes have? Let's just look at the next scripture from 2 Corinthians 1:5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, a lot of in there, but what I want to point out is the ministry of reconciliation that we have been given. In the same way that Christ came to reconcile men to God, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. And he says there, we are ambassadors of Christ as though God were pleading through us. And that's what's happening. There's God wanting to work through us, wanting us to be the minister of reconciliation and being his ambassadors here. And that's still boggles the mind if you think that the Almighty God who spoke creation into being, just by his words, chooses to partner with us, chooses to work through humans on the earth. Doesn't that boggle your mind sometimes? It's a bit risky, if you ask me, you know. But still astounding that God invites us to be a part of his kingdom coming. And that he chooses to do what's happening on the earth, I would say, mostly through people. So if you're trusting for provision, don't hold your breath for the angel that's going to bring you a sandwich over lunch. Okay, it's probably going to be a person. Okay, just saying. I'm not want to burst your bubble or anything. But you know, I'm not saying God is not able to send an angel with a sandwich to you, but mostly God chooses to work through people. Okay, let's quickly have a look at the next one. 1 John 2:1-2, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. In this picture of the advocate, and these, we're looking at the ministry, we've got lots of jobs, right? So we've, ambassadors. Now Jesus is the advocate, and we have a kind of a representative role in that role. And then also another one is where he speaks of Christ being our high priest, okay? And we are the priesthood of believers. Have you known that you are a priest as well? Hallelujah! Tell your brother, tell the person next to you, I am also a priest. Hopefully that's good news. So we believe in the priesthood of believers, it's called. So where everybody is a minister, okay? But the powerful picture of the priesthood is that there is a intermediary between God and man. And obviously that's why Christ is the chief, the high priest over all priests, because he is the intermediary. He's the one that came to stand between us and God. And he's still doing so. And the scripture says that he's continually interceding for us, continually making intercession for us before the Father. So this picture of the advocate and the intercessor there in the throne room of God representing you and me before the Father. That's a solid case you got right there, right? Praise God. Continually making intercession for us with the Father. But guys, the great news today is we have a part to play in that happens. In terms of us also acting as intermediaries, also being in the ministry of reconciliation, also representing others before the throne room of God. So, and we're going to do a little bit of a practical now. So I need 3 volunteers. Okay, guys. I'm not going to hurt anybody, so I promise. Okay, so Miao and William, welcome to come forward. And Sophie Sommer, since he's being pulled into everything. Yeah, so we're picking on the South Africa. So I need a good guy. I need a good guy and a bad guy.
Okay, now you can pick on the
Who wants to be a bad guy? You want to be the good guy. You're going to be bad. Okay, then you're just, you need position, right? Just move on. Just move on a bit. Right, so then for this illustration, sorry about the guys next door. I don't know if you'll be able to see everything. Sophiso is going to be God. Eh? Okay. For this illustration, guess what? Sorry, Meow. Meow is the enemy in this one. Okay. Don't worry. And William is my friend. Okay. That's also great. Okay, so here's the thing. So when we, in terms of preparing the ground, in terms of standing in the gap for somebody, there's a few things that happen in terms of us representing somebody in prayer. Okay? Now, firstly, what happens is if I want to pray for my brother or my friend or maybe my neighbor, William, I'll just give you a different name. No, just kidding. So if I want to pray for him, one of the things that happens is I come to God on behalf of William. So I come and I stand between God and William. And the only reason why I can do this is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Because Christ has already done that. So I am standing in the work of Christ. It's the finished work. So I am partnering with what Christ has already done. He's already finished. And that's the only reason why I can do this. Do you get that? There's no other way. There's no other reason. I can only do this in the name of Jesus. I can stand before the Father and I can stand. And I say, Lord, on behalf of my brother, on behalf of my neighbor, say, for instance, he's not saved. Okay, for this illustration, I say, Lord, have mercy on him. And I can stand in on his behalf. I stand in the gap. That's what it's called. And I say, God, let your kingdom come in his life. Soften his heart. You know, forgive him. Don't judge him. Put people around him to minister. Yeah, I intercede for him. And I can call on the name of the Lord on his behalf because he's not doing that. I pray for his family. I pray for his health. Pray that he would experience the goodness of God and that the goodness of God will lead him to repentance. I pray for opportunities for me to be able to meet him when we're both mowing the lawn or whatever, if he's my neighbor, or whatever, opportunities for him to share, for me to share the love of God with him, opportunities for me to connect with him. I'm praying on his behalf and I'm coming to God. I say, Lord, won't you bless him? Won't you show him your love? Amen. And the most important thing that I'm doing is I'm saying, God, what are you doing already in his life? Because God is busy. Guys, God says, I will build my church. His desire for all men to come, for all men to be saved. So I can absolutely guarantee you that God is doing something in his life. But often we get so frustrated because I'm trying this, but God is doing this. Oh, yeah. And I'm not on the same page as what God is doing. I'm thinking, you know what, he must just stop drinking and smoking and then things are going to be better. So I'm nailing him on that. Said, please, man, clean up your life. But God is not, maybe not concerned about that right now. He's dealing with the fact that he's got a father wound or something and he wants to love him as a father. You get me? So there's a plane where I say, okay, Lord, show me what you're doing in his life so that I can jump in on what you're doing. Guys, that's a sure recipe for success. This is a tip. This is for free. If you're having frustration in some area in your life, get on the same page with God because God wins. Eh? If you're frustrated, if something isn't working out, just say, God, what's happening? Let me just get on the same page as you are on because then I believe your kingdom is coming. Even if it means something different to what I was wanting, I know that the kingdom is coming and we're going forward. Okay, so I want to say that's absolute key. We're getting to you now. You know, just be patient. Okay, absolute key, guys. Get in tune with what God is doing in that person's life, and then work with that. Put your effort in that. Put your prayer into that. Sometimes what I mean, God says, "No, just keep quiet. Just pray. Don't think to him now. Just pray." And the oil, but go with what God is saying, and partner with what God is already doing. All right. And then on the other side, there's another thing that happens. And when I come and I represent somebody, when I'm praying, and now I'm not praying to God anymore, now I'm addressing the enemy on behalf of somebody else. All right? So now I recognize that, okay, God is dealing with, I've been praying for my neighbor, And God has showed me yesterday, he's got a father wound. He didn't have a father, and there's some issues there. God is wanting to show him his father love. So when I'm coming to address anything, sorry, all right, got it. I'm going to be praying, and I'm going to be first trusting God to see, to get a revelation of what are the things that are keeping my brother from hearing the word, that are keeping my neighbor from receiving the word, that are keeping him from the seeds of being, you know, of the gospel to be taking root in his life. And once I have an understanding of that, I know what to do when I come here. So here, I then address the stuff that is causing that father wound to be made worse, or that's, you know, that stuff that's keeping him from receiving the love of God. I can address hardness of heart. I can address demonic influence. I can address fears and anxieties. I can address things that are opposing the work of the gospel in my neighbor's life. Are you with me? And again, guys, the only place I can do this from is from the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. I come in the name of Jesus. The name above every name. And when I say that name, all of heaven comes into attention. And the forces of darkness also take note. And they realize, okay, whatever he says now, we have to obey, because it's the name above every name. So I address fear. I address hardness of heart, bitterness. Whatever is coming from the forces of darkness to oppose him and come against him and keep him from being saved, I can address that. Amen? Guys, and this is not something only for super Christians or people that have been saved for 3 years or more. This is for anybody that is in Christ. Okay, and I would obviously, if you're a young Christian, do this with a mature Christian. And that's the best part. If you can do this that I'm demonstrating now with other people, that's the winner, win situation. Because then you have a place to be in agreement with somebody. You have the power of more, you know, discernment and agreement and, you know, the bigger picture. Each of us brings a part of the picture. So that's why we do intercession, okay? But when I come here, I come in the name of Jesus, and I rebuke the devourer, and I come against him in the name of Jesus. I stand in the gap between the enemy and my neighbor in the name of Jesus, in the work of Jesus. Oh dear, that was quick. Okay. Thanks, guys. Let's give them a hand. That did really well. Yeah. Let's quickly look at the next scripture in 1 Corinthians. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom we believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. This is the amazing thing, guys. We have roles to play, and as we get in tune with what God is doing in people's lives, that's when the fun starts. Because we see stuff's happening. We see, even though it's maybe different than I thought, I see the kingdom of God is coming. And I have an absolute confidence that it's God that brings the increase. Yes, I will be obedient. And let me just be straight with you guys. It happens often that we don't see fruit immediately. If you've ever been on a farm or around a farming environment, you will not panic, because that is normal. You can't put a seed in the ground and the next day want to have an apple. Okay? So, but the amazing thing is sometimes we come to a place, it's already been sown, there's already been growth, and then suddenly, wow, there's fruit, and I'll just come along and I can say, wow, somebody else has labored here, God has brought increase, I can harvest. But I want to say to you, don't get discouraged if there's no fruit immediately. Don't think, oh, nothing happening here, I'm moving on. Okay, just stick it out. Hear from God. Where is this guy at? What should I be doing? Should I be praying? Should I be loving him? Should I just be playing sports with this guy? What is the deal here? Partnering, knowing absolute, with absolute confidence that some of us plant and some of us you sow, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase, and He is the one that takes us from glory to glory. He is the one that is faithful to finish the good work that He has started. Okay. Now, just Reinhard Bonnke, the evangelist, probably most significant of his time at the moment, him and Billy Graham and guys like that. He once mentioned, if you can just go to the next one there, he says that evangelism without prayer is like a bomb without a detonator. So you cannot do the one without the other. They basically go together. And and I want to challenge you with this. If I don't know who said this second one, I like this one, but talk to God about someone before you talk to them about God. Again, this is the frustration. You know, we're inviting people. We want to share our testimony. We want to share. Again, this is, like I said, this is not for the guy on the bus that you meet once. You've been praying for him in intercession. That's the harvest. Okay, so don't hold back on somebody that you meet like a once-off. But for people, specifically people that you meet regularly, just don't stop praying for them. And if you get frustrated, just remember, just seek, once you've connected with the heart of God for somebody, we see them completely differently. Suddenly, you know, I remember, you know, my friends at Varsity smoking and drinking and doing all the rough stuff, and I was trying to deal with the fruit, trying to convict them of their lifestyle. But that's not what's going to keep them from going to heaven. That's when the fact that they don't know Christ, that's the problem, okay? So, but I found that when I'm connecting with God about that person, I realize, oh, wow, God is not concerned about these things. He wants to do this now. So I'm going to be partnering with Him. I'm going to be praying into that ground in their heart to be prepared for the seed. So, and the same, I want to say the same with about colleagues and family members that you're reaching out to. Connect with the heart of God for that person, and you will see they will look completely different, because suddenly you'll see them through God's eyes. Suddenly you see that difficult boss or that abusive colleague or whatever, that, and you realize, and you'll have compassion, because you recognize that God has died for this person. Christ has laid down His life, and He's calling us to love them in the same way that He has. Okay. Now, some of you might know, but you know, my parents aren't really saved. My dad is getting there. But all three of us children, are we having another girl? Did we tell you this? Yeah. Yeah. So praise God. My family, girl, boy, girl. And then after that, we don't know. But in any case, so all three of us are radically saved, serving God, but our parents aren't. So how does that happen? And I tell you, in our lives, my grandmother, she played a key role there. She prayed for us every day. And she was probably not the intercessor that we think when we think intercessor. Because she was very traditional in her faith, very, you know, formal. But she prayed for us every day. And those prayers, I believe, came before God, as Scripture says, as an offering, as a monument, as a, you know, as something He couldn't ignore. And obviously, you know, work with a whole lot of other people also, sowing into lives. But there's somebody like that in each of our lives. Somebody that wouldn't stop praying. Somebody would just wouldn't give up on you and kept on praying for you and kept on standing in the gap for you. Guys, all I'm saying is, what a privilege that we can be that for somebody else. To that one that won't stop inviting, that one that won't stop praying, that one that will keep standing in the gap. A friend of mine, Donnie, some of you will know him, he's a pastor now in Standerton. He's a great guy. We were friends since year one. I think at that stage, Donnie was quite big for his age, and I was thin. And they called us Jake and the Fat Man because there was this TV show. In any case, let's not go into that. But he was also quite strong, so that there were benefits in this relationship, you know. Anyway, Donnie and I were good friends, and then we split paths. He went to a different school, and we didn't see each other a lot for the next, say 10 years. And in that time, I got saved. I got, you know, born again. I got spirit-filled. I would see him from time to time. I would encourage and, you know, share. But I realized that he's still seeking. You know, he's seeking. He came from the same background as me in terms of religion. We were in the same Sunday school class and everything. But I kept praying. I didn't pray every day, but the Lord kept reminding me to pray for him. And then it was amazing to see, many years later, how, you know, I could just share with him frankly, actually, this is what God is doing. And at that stage, there was the Chofa was planting a church in Pretoria, and he was there, and I said, listen, just go. Just, you know, nothing to lose. Just go for it. And when I heard again, he was like there. And when I heard again, he was baptized. When I heard, I was, and then I visited, and then he was filled with the Spirit. And then when I looked again, he was working for the church. You know, so then I've probably been the longest employee for the Shofar of Pretoria before he moved to Standerton. But the amazing thing is that I was just astounded that over many years, I can't say yes, I was on my knees every day, but over many years of just praying, God was doing something. And now he's a pastor. Now he's in Standerton and seeing the kingdom come there in amazing ways. And I just had an amazing privilege of having a small part in what God was doing in his life. God, I want to encourage you that this, don't give up on those guys that you're praying for. Stick it out and partner with God and what he's doing in that person's life. Amen. So this morning we're going to quickly be a bit practical to close now. Let's just read this last scripture from Matthew 16. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We'll get there. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but our Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Guys, keys. God has given us keys for the kingdom to come in our city, in the people around us. He's keen to give us keys when we're reaching out to somebody. He's keen to give us keys for the person I'm standing in faith for, that they will be saved. I mean, he's not opposing. He's not holding out on us. Amen. Stand on this. When you bind something in the name of Jesus, that's why I say come in agreement with somebody about those people that you're praying for. Pray for them in small group. Pray for them in intercession. Come in agreement. Pray for them every day in your quiet time, but know that you're praying, you and I are praying with authority, because we are standing in the same, in the delegated authority that we have in Christ, and we come in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So there are keys, and what we bind will be bound. Amen. So this is quite a serious thing that he's saying. This is, we have given you authority and I've given you keys. Amen. Okay, so I want to, if we do a quick exercise, are we going to just hand out these? If you can give me a hand with that, please. And if you don't have a pen, we got some here. We're going to write down the names of at least 5 people. We've got some extra ones for next door. It'd be great. We should have extras. Don't we have enough? Wow. Okay. If we don't have enough, that's weird. Sorry. I thought I had more than enough. Paper. Make it in half. Yeah, make it in half and pass one on and pass some to the guys next door. Okay. So if you could write down at least five names, I don't mind if you put down somebody that lives in a different continent, but let's see if we can get at least three of the names to be people that are here. People that you want to invite to church, people that you want to be saved, trusting to be saved, people that you engage with regularly. So at least three of the five names, someone that you that is able to come to church in terms of proximity. Okay? So five names of people. And what we're going to do is you're going to give those pieces of paper to me, and we're going to put them in this jar, and we're going to be praying for them regularly. Okay? Because I reckon we've had this in the past that you have prayer cards and you keep them with you, which is great. You can still do that. But I believe if those people are in your heart, you will not forget them. You know who they are. Right? No, it's a good place to say amen. Okay. Yes, okay. So while you're writing down, let me not interrupt. But so at least five names, maybe, and then at least three that are close that we can trust God to disciple. Okay. And then once you've finished, you're going to put them in here. Are you done? You want to hand that around? Thanks very much. If you've used a pen, you can pop it in there as well. So the idea is that we'll do this from time to time. And the key is that we're going to pray for these guys, at maybe not always by name, but we can pray over that bowl. Pray over the names, continually saying, Lord, this we are trusting for these people to be saved. Amen. We're trusting for salvation. We're trusting for the lives to be transformed, for the kingdom to come in their lives. Okay? Some have just come into the country, so maybe if you've met three people, you're right. Okay. Great. And then we're going to close. How are we doing? I should have limited you, I suppose, to the amount of names, but that's fine. You can go for it. Great. You got a few still on this side. Thank you. If you got a pen, just pop it in there as well. Thank you. Brilliant. That looks great. You can use the back as well. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Thanks, Tong. Right, you can pass it to me. Okay, I'll maybe put the lid on that we don't escape. Anybody escapes. Okay. Okay, so, guys, this is not rocket science, but this is the most, probably one of the most important things you and I are doing, would be doing in our lifetime, is at the cost of ourselves, at the cost of our time, at the cost maybe of something else I would rather be doing, to stand in the gap for somebody else, for them to be saved. And you know what? I believe the joy that we will have, thank you, the joy of sharing in the joy of somebody's salvation when we see them in eternity one day, there's nothing that comes near to that. There's obviously the opposite as well, where we see that somebody's not there and we realize that we maybe haven't used all the opportunities we had. But let's just extend our hands this morning and let's pray for these people this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come to you, not in our own name, Lord, not in our own strength, not in our own authority, but we come only in the name that is above every name. We come in the name of Jesus, who died, who bled and died for these names, who's these people. And we bring them before you, God. In the name of Jesus, we ask, Lord, that you would continue the work that you've started already in their lives. God, we ask for everyone, every heart, Lord, every person, every family represented, every community. We say, God, we look to you as the author of salvation. And we ask, Lord, that you'd save to the uttermost, God, in Jesus' name. We recognize many of these are in the valley of decision. God, we call out for your grace upon their lives. Lord, your grace is sufficient for us. Your grace was sufficient for us to call us from darkness into your marvelous light. So we ask for the same for these, God, in Jesus' name. Draw them to yourself, Father, in Jesus' name. Soften their hearts, God. We come against every opposition. We come against every assignment. Everything that's keeping him from believing, we come against it in the name of Jesus Christ. We cancel assignments to frustrate the work of the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask, Lord, that you would send ministering angels, God. You would send laborers, God. That you would, God, that you would give us opportunities, Father, in the name of Jesus. But we ask, Lord, that your word of the gospel, the seed of your word will take root in their hearts, God, and bear fruit, God, worthy and of repentance and fruit unto salvation that will bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, Lord, we call on you as our Savior to save to the uttermost, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to bring the increase, Lord. You are faithful to finish the good work that you've started. And in the name of Jesus, God, we pray that you would light a flame in our hearts, God, a passion to pray, Father, for those that you lay on our hearts, for those around us, God. Oh God, in Jesus' name, we ask, we give you our hearts and our to this morning and today, God. We ask, come and do a work in our hearts. Even if we don't think of ourselves as being intercessors, God, we say, yes, God, we want to partner with you. We want to see your kingdom come. We want to see lives changed, Lord. We want to see people transformed, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let's just stand this morning. Father, we bring our hearts before you, Lord. Lord, we acknowledge that there are many things, God, that sometimes we our faith almost gets almost wasted on our time, our prayers, God. Lord, we get distracted with doctrines and stuff and offenses and this and that. And this morning, Lord, we say, we cry out to you, Lord, for your grace. We cry out to you that you would have mercy on us. Lord, that we would not miss that invitation, Lord, of partnering with you. That we would not miss the invitation, Lord, of being a part of your family business, Lord, of yoking with Christ, Lord, of being there in the front line, experiencing your heart for the lost, Lord, experiencing your passion for those around us, even those that we are still learning to love, those that are difficult to love, God, but you love them so much, you've died for them. People like Barabbas, Lord, who was condemned to death, a murderer, a criminal, God, and right there at the cross, you took his place. And he was free. He didn't say thanks. But you paid for him, Lord, because you love him. Lord, I thank you that you that we were once that Barabbas, Lord, that you love us the same. In the same way, there are many Barabbases out there that don't know your love and don't receive it, Lord. But thank you that your love towards them has not changed, God. The price you've paid has not changed. And right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, pray you burn onto our hearts, Lord, the names of the people that you would have us stand in the gap for. That we would not stop, Lord. I thank you that you quicken us in our spirits and our bodies, Lord. You give us energy to pray, even if it's in the night, Lord. Even if we cry or weep tears for the lost, Lord. I thank you that we would experience something of your heart that we've never done before, God. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that as we partner with you, we thank you that you are faithful, God. We thank you that we will see many turn. Thank you that we will see many lives transformed, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you that we will see fruit. Thank you that we will see lives change, God. We thank you that we will see people running from darkness into your marvelous light, God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, God, that as we might share in the suffering, but we will also share in the glory of seeing your kingdom come, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If this morning, if you know there's something in a shift in your heart in regards to this, then just come to the front or have somebody pray with you. Maybe just a prayer of agreement. Trust God to just to shift something in your heart to see now, to see His kingdom come. Amen. And if there's any other prayer need this morning, if you have any other need, we'd love to just agree with you in prayer. I don't have the answer, but I know Christ has the answer. I know Father has already made a way for you. So whatever you're trusting for, if you have sickness in your body, if you're not feeling well, we know that He has made provision through the cross. Amen. So if you have any prayer need, or if you want to just respond to the word this morning, come to the front. You're welcome to just remain here in the presence of the Lord. Otherwise, please join us for some refreshments next door. Okay. Alright. So if you need prayer, please join us in the front. Amen. And if I also feel if you just need boldness to stand in that gap, then come and I want to pray for some people for boldness. Amen. When the apostles were experiencing some opposition and some persecution, they didn't run away, but they came together. And their prayer was that Lord would fill them with greater boldness. That was when people were being imprisoned and jailed and stuff. And said, Lord, give us greater boldness. And what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon them afresh. Power. So if you need some more of that, please also come. We'll pray with you. Amen. God bless you.